Hello and welcome to Untangled Resolution's special September 11th broadcast of The Problem is the Answer. I am your host, Batabi Levantombeni, and I'm coming to you live from Harlem, USA. Today, we solemnly remember when, 10 years ago, terrorists carried out the most significant direct attacks against the United States on U.S. soil. In the aftermath, the world reached out to New York City. Help poured in from all corners of the country and the world. Today, the show's focus is on New Yorkers giving back, returning the kindness that was shown to them. Listen in for this inspiring story of how love and kindness have flourished out of the rubble of that great tragedy. You are listening to virtuoso guitarist Brandon Ross, joined by master acoustic bassist Stomu Takeishi and Daisuke Suzuki, playing Hymn to a Tired Man, from the album Quotation of a Dream, Love and Soul of Toru Takemitsu. Sit back and listen as everyone gathers. I'll be back with you in just a moment.
If you are just tuning in, this is Batabi Levantombeni, and I'm broadcasting live from Harlem, USA. This is Untangled Resolution's presentation of The Problem is the Answer. And I have to tell you, I'm not in my regular place of broadcasting, my usual fabulously appointed studio. I'm here in another studio, an actual real if you should see that they've got actual equipment here. It's really cool. I'm here with Mark Herman and Chris Breeze-Barzinski.
Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Two musicians who were inspired by the way that countless people pull together in the aftermath of the September 11th tragedy to provide comfort and support for the New York community. And they were so inspired that they've decided to inspire others to give back in a more lasting way after communities experience disasters. Hi, Mark and Chris. Welcome to the show.
How are you doing? Thanks.
Great. I was really excited about putting you on the show because I know that a lot of what is going on around September 11th today is about commemoration. There are, you know, hundreds of thousands of people who were directly impacted by loss during the events itself. But I think it's great to add another angle, which is to talk about some of the wonderful things that came out of the September 11th tragedy, the way that people pulled together that were developed. New York has a reputation for being, you know, kind of brusque and rushed, and some people might be interesting food. But in the days after December 11th, there really was a pulling together of the community, and I'm excited to see how 10 years later we decided to continue that list. So tell me a bit about, just briefly, why it is that we're doing this show, and then we'll talk a bit about you so that I can introduce you to my audience.
The city was a completely different place after the attacks. I mean, people really slowed down. You know, they thought about what was important, about how brief and fleeting life really is. You know, to see people have to jump to their death out of that building, you know, puts a lot of things in perspective. And the city was a much warmer place. You know, people cared about one another. People did, you know, amazing acts of kindness from one another. And they really thought about it. And tragedies like, you know, the one trying to continue the work down there after the news hands have left. And after the attention, you still rebuild a community.
It's interesting that you as musicians are taking up this collaboration as musicians. How did you choose to take that on as life?
Well, I felt a kinship with from when I was like 5 years old, listening to music. When hair was longer, people were that was. And anyway, I was, as a kid, getting turned on to, you know, Led Zeppelin and Cream and all the Janis Joplin and all these amazing Jimi Hendrix, these artists that were just so, they're iconic. And then the Beatles, of course. And so music was just, it was just a calling, eventually made me realize it's something that I need to do because it's a language that you paint with sound, and it's a language that is, as you grow up, we all have differences, political, religious differences, other kinds, and across all borders, all barriers to people, and that's something that was fond of. Remains to this day an inspiration.
Is there a particular instrument that you first picked up?
I'm a guitar player, still am, and that's always been the thing for me. There's something about what it looked like, what it sounded like, and I had a neighbor as a little kid whose father was a jazz musician. Friends, but it came to me as a plan. Really, most people get to get to know women. In my case, it was a said, I didn't know that. And I said, and I ran home to my friend's father.
Oh, yeah.
Gary Brown actually introduced Mark to Blake and myself. I'll let Mark tell the story.
Well, the story goes. Gary, so the thing to Gary from Breeze.
Gary, I know here from here in New York.
Right, Gary was a singer, a songwriter who I knew on the West Coast, Los Angeles, when I was, you know, working as a producer and as a recording engineer. I was doing R&B records out there in engineering, and I was working with a Scottish producer, a guy named Steve Harvey. And he and Gary had written a lot of songs together. We'd done a lot of albums together out there. And Gary, who I knew was from the East Coast, who had, did a stint with Kool and the Gang at one point as lead singer after JT. And I moved back in 97 to New York and was kind of looking to find my way back here. I'd produced the artist Five for Fighting out there. And from that, you know, there was sort of a path that I want to be an artist again. You know, it was great to do that as a producer, but doing something original was what I really wanted to do, and so it gave me an opportunity to come back here. And so I went through bands back here in New York. Same thing, had some notoriety in the dot-com days, had a number one on MP3, you know, got interviewed by CNN and Rolling Stone and all this stuff, all these very cool, almost, you know, really great things, but things that came and went. And as I was looking around for my next thing, I had all this music in me. Gary ran into some guy in Chelsea and I'm like, what are you doing in New York again? And we hadn't seen each other in a few years. And I said, this is really great. I'm doing stuff for TV and you're going to walk far away. And I said, yeah. He goes, want to do some work for TV? I said, yeah, that'd be cool. So I told him, I meet him up in the Columbia area, and we're talking at the bar. He said, I'm happy to get the work, but what I really need is I need a drummer. I've got this all the music, and I'm doing bands. and he said, what did you just say? And I said, I need a singer drummer. I've got a bass player, and where, you know. And he's like, wow. Ain't life crazy? I said, why are you laughing? He goes, see those two guys over there at the bar? And I said, what two guys? And I saw this guy over there with long straight hair and then this African American guy with dreads. I'm like, wow, two kind of music, kind of cool looking guys. I said, who are they? He goes, they're your destiny. You know? And I said, huh? He goes, there's a singer and a drummer that you should meet.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Wow.
And that was the beginning of our band.
Wow.
Citizens of Contrary Knowledge. And yeah.
Wow. Citizens of Contrary Knowledge.
Yeah.
Wow. That kind of story gives me chills.
Me too.
You know? when that kind of synergy happens, when you find what you're looking for and it just comes together. So then I take it that the merger between the drummer and the...
Oh, yeah. The moment we got in a room together and played music, it was phenomenal. And our first CD we recorded live at those sessions.
Wow.
And you know, had some real cool indie success. You know, licensed our song House of Cards to the Tudors on Showtime.
Oh, wow.
Two Nickelodeon shows, Drake and Josh and Zoe 101, use our music constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Rouse College Sports Television.
Yep. And,
we won the New Jersey Nets from the recorded two CDs and
I have to let you know what just happened. Mark leaned over and he's got this really nice monitor the Samsung console that he's got over here, and it's an awesome picture of them. This is where
I got the Five Out Arena.
You all look real, you know.
Yeah.
Being a rock star, this is so cool. I'm in the presence of royalty. This is awesome.
Harlem royalty.
There you go. Well,
not a real rock star, but I play one on TV.
This is really cool, and I'm really glad to hear the story of how you got together. We're going to talk in a bit about how you came to now use what you have and how you are using what you have to the benefit of other people, inspired by what happened in the aftermath of September 11th. So we're actually at a point where we're going to take a quick little break, And I'm going to play for you a piece. It's Vijay Iyer, and it's from his album Solo, and it is his arrangement of Michael Jackson's song Human Nature. And I'm thinking that day like today, when we are celebrating the anniversary of the September 11th attacks, that we think a little bit about what human nature is and what it means to be human. And then we come back, we're going to talk about more wonderful aspects of being human, about forming communities, even with people who live far away from us, understanding that we really are all. We'll be back in just a moment.
Thank you.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Untangled Resolutions' presentation of The Problem is the Answer, a show about the personal, social, and financial issues that concern you most. I am your host, Tabi Levin-Tombini, relationship coach, divorce mediator, and conflict management specialist, and I'm broadcasting live from Harlem, USA. Untangled Resolutions is a private practice in couples and divorce mediation. If you have an issue that just won't go away, work out in couples mediation. If ending a relationship is your healthiest choice, I will guide you through the process so that you don't lose your shirt or your mind. Work out your child support and parenting issues without spending years in court. For more information, visit my website, www.123untangled.com. That's 123untangled.com. Over the summer, I took a break from blogging about the show, but I plan to come back to it now. www.blogspot.com. And this is where you can find links to resources and show on the show and find more about the music and musicians I feature. It is also your opportunity to continue the conversation that was started here on the show. So please jump right in and let your voice be heard. Let's see if I can get it right this time. www.untangledresolutions.blogspot.com. But I've found out that www is not really necessary. Just remember, untangledresolutions.blogspot.com. I'm here today with two very special guests. I'm here with Chris Breeze Barzinski and the September 11th tragedy has inspired them to do good for others who have experienced disaster. So, Chris and Mark, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Hello.
Good, yes. We met a few weeks ago. I happened to go to a show that Chris put on, and I ran to Mark, and Mark started telling me about Rainbow Bridge NYC. So tell us a bit about this project and the reason, really, that we're doing this show.
I'll start with Breeze because it began with him.
All right.
Yeah. I was, watching the news, watching, some of the aftermath of the Jocelyn. This time I heard the Pretender song, and I thought, what a beautiful sentiment, what a beautiful song to record. These people still need help. You know, their entire community was destroyed. I mean, just out of nowhere by a tornado. And I came to Mark and I said, I'd like to record this song, do it as a duet, and give it more of an Americana vibe, so it can appeal to everyone. And let's put it out there somehow, and hope that it inspires people to donate and help. You know, do what they can to help. So I came to him with the idea, and it began the process of yeses, of just the word yes. As soon as you talk to people about this, they're like, yes, what can I do to help? Hmm. And that's that. He started it by just saying yes to me.
Yeah.
And I'll let Mark take it from there, because he began making calls to as the producer of the song, to reach out to other musicians here and around Harlem to get this thing started.
So, yeah, Breeze and I talked about it, and one of the things he said was he wanted to do a duet with a girl that both of us know, a really amazing singer named Christine Tambakis, who plays with a group called Tangled Vine, who they were regulars at the place you saw Breeze, Prohibition, on Thursday nights. And so I said, well, that's great, because both of us, we've worked together with her, and I said, wow, a duet on that song, this will be great, and we talked about it. The three of us got together and kind of did a little powwow, and that you're not going to touch the Pretender's arrangement song, and why bother? And since this was a more reverential moment, what we were doing this for, let's make a very personal, acoustic thing. So the friends that I called were the kind of people that are multi-instrumentalists, first idea was put it around an accordion, violin, acoustic instruments, and a friend of mine, Gary Schreiner, who's a really talented musician, said, Gary, come in, would you start with the accordion? And then we'll go from there. And so Gary came in, he did his part, and then we took, you know, I played a little acoustic guitar on it to just give it some place to start, and then went to my friend, another Harlem resident down the street, very well-known drummer, Graham Hawthorne, who's played with David Byrne and Paul Simon, Harry Belafonte, and people like that. And so I said, would you add your flourish to this? And he said, of course. And like Bree said, everything was yes. And so he put his touches on, and then we wanted a little violins. And we wanted to get the violin. And there's a girl that we knew. I'm just not going to share the joke right now. But long story short, this amazing violinist named Lyris Hung, who has tone kind of wrong. She's an amazing player, and she does endorsements for, I think, the Dario string stuff. And brought her in, and it all together. The original has a choir. Well, you know, we were looking for a choir. We went after the Harlem Gospel Choir because they are our band. It was the Bee's Gospel Brunch. But they weren't available at the time because they were that have all, again, sung professionally with all kinds of folks, and began with a girl named Amanda Homey, who's a phenomenal singer. And I said, Amanda, this is crazy, but before the 4th of July weekend, and I'll get to why it was crazy and why we had to be done, but I said, I've got to get the background vocals done today or tomorrow because I've got to get to the most famous mix engineer in the world, and I'll explain why that is. So she said, oh, my God, 4th of July weekend, Mark, I mean, tomorrow, she goes, okay, I can be here, but I'm so crazed today, I can't call my friend. She said, here's a name, Elaine Caswell, you probably know the name. And she said to me, I said, of course, she's a well-known singer who's married to a very famous drummer, Sean Pelt. And she says, call Elaine. If she can do it, she'll get the other singers. Boom. I did. It came together like that. The next day, where we're sitting, four unbelievable singers, the other being Nikki Richards and a guy named Neil Coomer, came here, we heard the song, and, you know, they just did what they do. They'd all toured together, and I said, here's how it goes. And they're like, great. You do this, you do this, you do this. It's pretty good. So,
now that's a choir.
You know, it's like, that sounds like a choir. Why for the choir part. And in the finishing, Breeze had sung his part, vocals were amazing, Christine had done her part, it all fell together. I was joking around as we finished, I said, you know, wouldn't it be really cool if we reached out to this legendary mix engineer, Bob Clearmountain, who, to those in the industry who knows, one of the most famous mix engineers maybe in the world, who's worked with, I don't know who he hasn't worked with, from the Stones to the Pretenders and Springsteen and everyone and everyone and everyone.
And he makes the original.
And
he makes the original.
And that was the story.
Yes.
And so we just sort of laughed about it and had a glass of wine. And
wouldn't
after
that
glass
be
of wine, I said, why not? Got on the computer, found his website, and and wrote, and his management gets in between, and they said, well, we'll tell him your story. That was that. We moved on. It didn't need Bob Clearmountain. I just said, well, wouldn't that be fun? And we moved on. And then all of a sudden, they wrote back and said, okay, Bob really, he likes the story. He's interested. He'd like to hear what you're doing.
Hmm. You get an email like that.
And
what's
going,
the reaction?
Well. Okay. I can't believe this. You know. And he wrote back and said, he likes your arrangement. He's going to do it. Because he happens to be finishing a string right now.
Clemens and died. And,
oh, right.
You know, so we got a yes.
But then about, you know, like institution and why we do this. In the time, now you're getting into July, going into and there started being a sentiment of, my God, you know, May 22nd with the tornadoes. It's already been a couple months. And people, as we're talking to try to build this thing, we're like, well, I mean, isn't that kind of old news? And why are you doing this? Why bother? And that's the
they don't realize that still, you know, months after this, people can't get their electricity turned back on because the $1,000 it costs to, which wasn't included in their homeowner policy, to have the electric company come out and install a new box, they don't have it. The high school band lost all their, you know, instruments and uniforms and just things like that. Just, you know, the major relief organizations do what they do, and they do it very well, but lives are still, you know.
So they come in the direct aftermath of something. They're there for that period of time, and then they leave. Yeah. But it's not as though.
And unfortunately, the news vans leave too.
Right,
so
exactly.
You know,
so
and we've moved on to the next story.
Right.
And you know, it, what inspired me most is, you know, I remember what it was like after 9/11. You know, I saw the first building fall in front of my own face.
My God.
I was so profoundly affected by how people from every nation in this world, every religion, reached out to the United States. And, I mean, there was a solidarity in the world. And I wanted to take that and use it, you know, for this town in Missouri. You know, that, you know, the focus of the world isn't on that. But it's every bit as tragic, you know, to... You know, to lose 300 of your friends and neighbors,
right?
You know,
right.
By a tornado.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, so we're doing what we can to keep the focus down there and try to inspire people to help do what they can. You know, in whatever way, not necessarily monetarily. You know,
but the point is that you know, what's different about the effort that you are promoting is that it's not just about responding in the immediate aftermath,
right,
but understanding that it may take months, if not years, for a community to recover, and so they're going to continue to need help after that. Well, here's a moment I think that we can take. I'm really excited about this. We actually have the song, and so I'm excited to play the song for folks, and that's what we're going to do right now. And then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about how folks can get involved. So we're going to play the song. This is I'll Stand By You. And the group, then, you're calling it Rainbow Bridge NYC, or how do you...
Yes, we're in the process of filing for nonprofit status as Rainbow Bridge NYC. The Rainbow Bridge is a... an homage to a posthumous Jimi Hendrix album.
Yes.
And I think, you know, just the idea of every color bridging the gap. Initially I had thought about Harlem's Reach,
mm-hmm.
but Mark came to me with the idea for Rainbow Bridge, and I went, yes.
Well, that's fantastic.
Just like everyone else. Yeah.
Right, yes. Well, let's take a listen to the song.
Don't be ashamed to
Wow. I don't know what is happening with folks who are listening to this right now. I, of course, have heard it several times, and I still get goosebumps every time I hear it. It's so scary. I know that it brings in me, and it inspires me to want to do something, you know, understand me or understand by you. And knowing that you're recording this particular piece because of the specific situation, specific story, linking those two together is also really important. How did it happen that you became interested in Jonathan and what's going on with Jonathan?
Again, you know, I this was after Katrina, after the tsunami, after Japan, after, you know, it just, it seemed overwhelming, you know, and again, I wanted to help anybody who had gone through something like this, but, you know, I wanted a realistic goal, you know, I just didn't want to, you know, a drop in the bucket. I wanted to go somewhere and help some specific people.
Well, that's something that can be really a challenge where you've got these, I know I feel it. When there are huge tragedies of this sort, you can feel totally overwhelmed and sort of frozen because you don't know, it's too big, right? So this is an excellent thing to say, well, I'm going to focus and help someone instead of doing nothing.
Right. And, you know, so we've reached out to the community in Joplin and to the high school marching band director. And, you know, our initial focus is to inspire with music, you know, to many of these students have to rent their instruments. They've lost them. They've lost the jobs that they had to get the money to rent the instruments. So our focus is to get these kids their music instruments and their uniforms and to go out and be as inspired by music as we were, you know, and to inspire their community once again, because it's invaluable, you know. In times of hardship, you know, it seems we always want to cut the music programs and the programs for kids. And still, the power of music cannot be underestimated. You know.
Well, I know that you've had a chance to speak with folks who are there, of course, and that. Your understanding of the power of music, as you've described it, inspired you to say, okay, if we're going to focus on our positions, and so we're going to relate to a group of young musicians in Joplin, what are the stories that have come out from your interaction with folks?
There's been a couple. In song, the very end, you hear Breeze sing some ad-libs, which essentially are a takeoff from the song Stand By Me, right? And the concept being, I'll stand by you, it's New York saying, we've got your back, right? But Stand By Me is just sort of like, you know, the POV Joplin saying, won't you stand by me? So one of our artistic ideas is to reach out to people there and say, hey, here's the official version of the song, but we might send a version of it that doesn't have that in there and let some Joplin artists maybe sing that part. So I found a guy who was an interesting story named Ross Gibson, I was just searching artists in Joplin and just it came up and it was an interesting looking guy and he had a song called Wounded Town that he had done, you know, right after the tornado and, you know, iTunes and donations for the people of Joplin. And it was sort of a high voice and he said, New York thinking of us. And I said, I blog for a New York music site called Blogs Club. Would you be interested and help people on the ground here and everywhere else to understand? He said, absolutely. You know, the highest here is not I have a story that's so beyond the childhood cancer. He had all these difficulties, all kinds of things that he had to smell long before this happened. And he writes me, I wrote him a series of questions. He wrote me back and said, wow. So I've got a story coming out on Sonic Scoop about him.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a part of this story. And I said, well, he wants to be a published writer. And I said, well, okay, here's how we could help you. I said, what if we took your song in one of the videos we do about, let's say, the making of this movement, I use your music. You know, this is what this is all about, this two-way communication. He said, awesome, man, great. I'll send you pictures. And it turns out he's an amazing sketch artist. Mm. And so things like that. And then the band director, Rick Castor, for the Joplin High School, we had a dialogue going back and forth. And now all of a sudden he's giving me the real stories. He gave his personal photos, making montage of the video. So he's regular. So already what's happened with this two-way communication is, he said, look, I need to meet specific examples of what we're doing. Well, yeah, there are A-flat clarinets and bassoons and contra clarinets. And I said to him, okay, the drummer Graham Hawthorne is a zildjian, you know, in Dorsey. And I said, Graham, if I could do that, I said, this is it. And what did
Zildjian said yes.
Zildjian sent off a set of symbols to them.
Right.
And so, this is my focus form of giving. It's a real difference because it's not sort of nebulous, gee, I don't know where my money is going if I'm donating to this cause.
Right.
And we're saying, here is a good example of your either monetary donation or, you know, whatever you are giving is doing specifically for these people.
Right. Money after a disaster. I mean, I remember after the earthquake in Haiti, for example, donations were pouring in, but there was always that niggling thing in the back of the head that says, well, where is this money really going? You know, is it going to go to administration fees for folks who really don't need it? Or is it really going to be on the ground? The real people know specifically how the money is being spent, where, who's benefiting from it.
We're encouraging donations and saying, here, take the song.
Yes.
We didn't write it, right?
Sure.
But we're really saying, do your own make your own creative gesture, give your message of love and hope to the people of Joplin and send it up there to your social networks.
Mm-hmm.
And because what we're really talking about is an awareness of, over time, you know what I mean? To say, this isn't going to end anytime soon, and there's already been our own hurricane.
Yes,
since
of course,
this.
Right.
There's already been, you know, Oslo, Norway, and terrible and so on and so on. It's never going to end.
Right.
So what do? Just keep leaving the next disaster behind for the new one? No. You've got to continue the fight and say, look, we can do a whole lot here, but let's stay focused on a cause for right now.
So you find one and you're committed then to seeing it through. For folks who want to get involved, how do they do that? Where should they go?
They can go to our website at rainbowbridgenyc.com. They can hear, read the story, see the video, hear the song, donate if they care to. They can also visit us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page at Rainbow Bridge NYC. And they can get involved. They can post and you know, start the discussion, continue the discussion, you know, to keep people aware that people still need help.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, we ought to understand this because here we are 10 years after September 11th, and there's still a lot of recovery going on. So if you imagine that the tornado happened just in May in Joplin, they are nowhere near recovering from that.
They've only begun. They've only just gotten the permits to build.
Oh, so there you have it.
And, you know, Joplin is not a city with the resources of New York.
That's right. That's true.
Yeah. It's going to take a concerted effort.
Right. So it's a beautiful thing. I'm so happy to have the opportunity to bring the show to talk about how out of such a tremendous disaster, what happened in 2001. Here we are 10 years later, talking about how we are actively helping other people who are going to serve the nation and understanding that it's not about that 24-hour news cycle, that exciting period where everybody's out there and paying attention, but that after the news trucks have left, after the major aid agencies have had to move on to the next thing. People still need help, and this is where ordinary people, community members, can come in and work directly to one who can help. So I thank you so much both for being here on the show today.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
Yes. Wonderful. All right. Well, on that note, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll be back next week at the same time with another brand new show, so look out for that. I hope that you have a wonderful week. And this day is not over today. I end the show with a song called Remembrance. It is Vijay Iyer again, and it is a piece that was inspired by understand. He released a version of it yesterday that is available for download, and I will put that information when I up the blog with this experience in the song for yourself and having the song for yourself. You can do that. But I'm going to play that for you. Have a wonderful week, everyone. Take care. Thank you.